Ezekiel chapter 13. This is just my devotion time. It's amazing. I'm showing you principles here of just when you study your Bible, when you look at things, when you're doing your private devotions, if you're reading your Bible for profit, and you're not just reading it just to do it as a chore, but you really expect God to give you something and to teach you something in it, then you'll be amazed at what God will reveal unto you. And this text, in Ezekiel chapter 13, we're just going to go through some of these verses here, and I'm going to share some things with you that I'm just amazed at how this parallels with our situation today in America. Now again, I'm a James, and according to his purpose, amen. Right now, I believe we're in the time of the Gentiles. This is a time when things go on. So I'm not trying to make Israel the United States of America or anything like that. I'm not Herbert Armstrong, and I don't got a rock loose in my head or anything like that. I know what I'm preaching here. But I will say this. Paul said that those lessons in the Old Testament were for our admonition. Amen. They were for us to learn some things and to study some things. I'll say, listen, don't make these same mistakes. This was all brought about for you, so you had this complete revelation from God, so you could look at this and understand some things and learn from their mistakes and be edified and walk in the light. Now listen, there was a problem here in Israel, what was going on, and Ezekiel was called to action here to do something about it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy. Now notice, it's not against the nation of Israel directly yet. He says, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. He said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Now notice this first of all in verse number 2. This is very important to me. And I'm going to tell you why I hate this saying when I hear preachers say this. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Now let's just stop right there. How many times have you been in a church where a preacher, and I've seen this, I've seen a lot of our fundamental Baptist preachers do this. I'm going to close my Bible and I'm going to preach out of my heart to you tonight. And they shut their Bible and say, I'm going to preach something out of my heart to you tonight. Folks, my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What in the world am I going to be able to preach to you that has any standing or any strength or anything from the Lord or any power of God if I'm just preaching out of my own heart? That's what they were doing. They were preaching out of their own. Let me close. I want to give you something from my heart. Listen, the word of God better be in my heart. Yes, it better sink into my heart. It better be a part of me. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That ought to be part. But yes, folks, you need the preaching of the word of God. What does he say here? He reproves that. And he says this, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, I don't want to hear from your heart. You prophets, don't go to my people and tell them, well, my heart says this. Your heart could say a lot of things. But who cares what your heart says as opposed to the Word of God? And we want our hearts to be clean, yes, but they're to preach the Word of God. A preacher today in America is supposed to preach the Word of God. What's going on in our nation right now is not that, though, in many respects. It's preaching from their heart. Oh, let me just preach from my heart. I mean, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying all these stories that you hear when you walk on a pulpit and you hear story after story after story. Who is that? Well, it's Joel Osteen is what it is. As I was running today on elliptical, I happened to flip through and there's old smiley face again. I'll be honest with you, I have to check in and check that out because it just gives me so much ammunition to use against that garbage. But listen to me, folks, our fundamentalists are guilty of that very same thing. They will get up on the pulpit and they will tell a story. He told a story, and I remember there was this little boy, and he did this, and he went fishing, and he goes through all these little stories. And aren't those sweet stories? Aren't there wonderful stories? What is he doing? He's prophesying out of his own heart. He's just preaching out of his own heart, just telling you story after story after story after story. Folks, that's not Bible preaching. You know, I get a kick out of it, because those preachers will do that, and then somebody will walk away and say, boy, that was a great mess. Well, what was great about it? What was great about it? Oh, did you hear that? That was a funny joke, wasn't it? Oh, that's what you got out of that, huh? You walked away Sunday morning with a funny joke, huh? So what did the Lord say about that? Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear it, he said. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They're not talking about the power of God. They're not preaching the Bible, the Word of God. They're preaching out of their own hearts, and they've seen nothing. Now, these are people that are divining things, which, listen, folks, a preacher prophesies, and he prophesies the prophecy that's already in front of him, has already been foretold, and the coming prophecy, the judgment of God. He foretells of that. He talks about it. He's a foreteller like that. He's not giving you any new revelations. It's all scriptural. It's all here for us, but he is still prophesying. He is still trumpeting. He is still bringing that truth out. That's what he's supposed to be doing. But the foolish ones will follow their own spirit. They're following their own spirit. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedges for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. What is he saying? Well, the day of the Lord is interesting. We're not going to get into that today because we've done that in our Revelation study. But what he is saying here is in the principle of tears, you have not gone up into the gaps. You have not stood in the gaps for these people and warned them of the coming destruction and made up the hedge for the house of Israel. You've not preached the Bible to them of any prophets so it can protect them from the wickedness that is coming. Amen. You've not prepared these people. This nation of Israel is not prepared. And I'm telling you, in many churches, our people are not prepared for what may take place. Amen. We need to be prepared, folks. See, are you trying to be a doomsday prophet? No, I'm telling you, folks, that there's no promise that it's not going to get a little heated down here before the rapture comes. Amen? There's no promise that this economy's not going to crash, your dollar's going to be worth 10 cents. There is no promise that won't take place. But there's no warning going on. There's no preparation being made for those people. Say, hey, listen, you better be prepared for everything that takes place. You better get to know your God in heaven and have a relationship with Him. Because guess what? When all of this falls around you and the only thing you have left is this book, it better be your all. It better be enough for you. Amen. That's right. It better sustain you. You better rely on it instead of everything else. Because folks, it all can go away. Every comfort that we have, everything. Look at a little thing with your job and situation like that, you get rocked by it. Little financial trouble comes, you get rocked by it. Hey, I'm with you. I'm going through the same thing right now. It can happen. It's a call to faith. It's a call to it's a test of faith to trust the Lord through everything. Amen? But listen, folks. The preacher, God's preachers, churches are supposed to be planted in order to do that and to prepare people to gather them up, called out assembly, preach the Bible to them, see them get saved and baptized in part of a local body, and preparing them. Amen? But these prophets, they weren't doing that. They weren't standing in the gaps. They weren't making up a hedge for the house of Israel to stand the battle. They weren't doing that. Neither are preachers today, for the most part, many, are not preparing people. It's business as usual. Go on with everything else. It's just business as usual. Folks, it's not business as usual. Churches are folding up all over this country. Good Bible churches are folding up. Amen. They're folding up. Why is that? Preachers aren't calling these people to actually and to stand and giving them and feeding them what they need. They're prophesying out of their own hearts and saying, hey, strengthen yourself with my little cute story I just gave you. Oh, take that cute story home. That's wonderful. Isn't that a wonderful illustration? Take home that cute story and feed your family with that this week. Get the strength from that in order to live a godly life from that. To separate from evil. This little cute story I told you. Take that home with you and do something with that spiritually. God help us. We need it, folks. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. Well, we just witnessed that this week, didn't we? Oh, Lord, tell the rapture's coming. Right? They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. You know how many people there are out there that are preaching today that, you know, and again, I'm going to get in trouble with this because people don't like this when you say it all the time. But let me say this as emphatically as I possibly can. Just because you have a college Bible degree doesn't mean you're called to preach. College does not qualify you for the pulpit. Amen. You're called by God or you're not. No one can educate you for 4 years and give you the calling of God. Amen. Why do you think God took men like Shubal Stearns that were 50 years old? 50! He wasn't a young man. He was 50. And he said, go do a work for me. Some uneducated people do it. Now, I'm not against somebody going to college if they want to go get that degree. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we have taught kids, okay, well, you go forward. Yep, okay, you go to Bible school. Here's your 4 years. Put your 4 years in. That church will ordain you, and then there you go. Now you're a pastor. Wait. Really? Really? Folks, it's wrong. You don't train somebody for that. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting training. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the educational part of it. What I'm saying, though, is that if you tell a man that's what it is, no. He said, the Lord is saying here, there's plenty of those out there. The Lord said, and the Lord hath not sent them. God didn't send them. They just went. Now, not everybody that goes to, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are many out there that may have a degree. I didn't mean they're called of God. There are many out there that don't, that have pastored, that aren't called by God either. They just do what they want to do. Amen? But you know, a man knows when he's called of God. He knows when God has a word for him to do. He knows it. He can't escape it. Just like the prophet Jonah. He tried to run from it, didn't he? But he couldn't escape it. Why? Because God had called him. Amen? And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Look at that. The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. They're making others, oh, well, they'll confirm it. Let's get a group together. As long as there's a group and it's successful and there's a bunch of numbers, that means we're right. Correct? Wrong. You see that? No, what does that mean? What does it mean? Oh, well, if there's a lot of us, then that means we're right. Folks, there's a lot of Roman Catholics, and they're not right either. That doesn't mean we're right. That's pragmatism. That doesn't mean they're right just because there's a lot. You know, I'm so fascinated at today at what God is doing in the hearts of different people. When I look at Brother Beller and his situation, and I talk to Brother Davenport, what he's doing down in his church, and how he's, you know, he doesn't have the their Sunday night service is moved to a new church where they're planting a church. So their whole church is doing that on Sunday nights there. They're having 3 hours in the morning, and then boom, their Sunday night service is the other church that they're planting. Amen? And he is pastoring that church until he hands it over to one of his men to pastor that church. Amen. And that's what he's doing right now. And he's excited about it. He said, well, you know, look what I'm doing. I'm not doing this. And then on Wednesday, they're doing things a little bit. They're having their prayer service and something else he was telling me. And then they do some visitation and some soul winning on either Thursday when they do their Bible Institute or something like that. He's got all this way different than the normal fundamentalist way to do things. And I'm encouraged by that. You know why? Because no one has a right to look at that man and say, oh, bless God, you're wicked because you're doing something a little bit different. No, it's not. It's all biblical what he's doing. There's nothing unbiblical about that. He is saying, Lord, move me and I'll do what you want me to do. Show me. And then I think of Brother Matt McPhillips up there that said, you know what? We're integrating everything's coming back to the main focus is coming back. Now see, that's encouraging. You know why? Because people are starting to stand up and say, you know what? It's wonderful how Dr. So-and-so did it, and I'm pleased with that. But you know what? God is leading us to this. And guess what, folks? That's not sinful. They're defying this whole thing of pragmatism. It says, well, because they have 10,000 people, that's the right way to do it. Maybe it's right for them. None of it's sinful. Amen? However, I do believe, I would say there's a stronger argument for integrating everything than there is against it. Amen? You just study history, you'll figure that one out. It won't take you very long to figure that one out. There's a stronger argument for that. Now, have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken? God says, these men are out there speaking for me. These prophets are out there speaking for me, and I didn't send them. I haven't said a word to them. I haven't told them that. I have never said that to them. It's vain. It's vainness. It's lying. They're lying to you. How many times have we seen the Old Testament where, well, and by the way, we're in this day and age too, aren't we? Prophesy unto us pleasant things. Just give us the pleasant things, preacher. Just, why do you have to be so negative? Why do you have to preach on that sin? Why don't you just preach the positive things like smiley face? Why don't you do it like him? Why don't you do it like Mr. Colgate? Why don't you do it like him? Why not? Why not just make it like that? Because it's not biblical, that's why. Unfortunately, somebody has to stand up and say the things that you and I don't want to hear. And notice I said you and I. Because you better believe that God already puts that preacher through a meat grinder while he's preparing all that. And sometimes they look at that and they say, I don't really want to preach this today. Amen? Because every time I preach it, I got to live. Amen? And there's some hard lessons. Amen. Come on now. There's some hard lessons that we learn. We need it, though. He says, I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. You know, there's a prophecy out there. There's prophets out there. There are those that preach that God is actually against the preaching that they preach. His hand is against that. And folks, you're gonna have, listen, you say, oh, you just don't love America. Folks, I'm telling you something right now. I do love America, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. We're getting what we deserve right now. Actually, no, we're not. We're not even getting nearly what we deserve. 50 million babies? We're not getting nearly what we deserve. Sodomy, wickedness, and let me just say this. God's people who name the name of Christ have blasphemed marriage more than any homosexual ever could. So before you start picking on the homosexuals and going after the gays, you better stick to the house of God, and judgment must begin at the house of God, and say, why does God's people, the professed people of God, have 49% divorce rates? You've made a mockery out of marriage before they ever have. Amen. Where's that preaching in churches today? Amen. You've made a mockery out of it. The people of God have made it. You hold up your signs and go protest this and protest that. I'm fine. You go protest anything you want to. Bless God. That's your God-given right to do. I'm not against you. But let me say this to you. why we need to start holding them signs up in the church house and saying, you know what? God's for marriage. God's not for you to get divorced. Right. Amen? God's not for his houses before those that are divorced. Not that they're not welcome. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that it's wicked sin. Divorce is still wicked in the sight of God's eyes. Amen. God does not. I hate putting away, God says. Amen. But see, that's uncomfortable when you start. Why? Listen, folks. I'm not immune to the situation. I'm just telling you the truth. You better love the wife of your youth, the Bible says. Rejoice in the wife of thy youth. Drink waters from thine own cistern. Amen. But we'll chase down everything else. I say, you want me to tell you something right now? You make marriage stronger when you make it stronger in the house of God. When you make family stronger in the house of God, you won't be worried about going off and having to protest gay marriage. It wasn't until we made a mockery of it here that we have to. Because the world says, well, the church says, I don't even believe in it. I mean, they divorce just as much as everybody else. They must not believe anything sacred about it. Amen. Folks, that marriage is sacred. I don't care if you're saved or lost. That marriage is sacred in the sight of God's eyes. That is a union with you, your spouse, and God Almighty. You stand before Him and you take that wife. Amen. Otherwise, you're nothing but a liar. Amen. It's truth, isn't it? It hurts sometimes, though, but it's true. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity. And that divine lies, they shall not be in the assembly of my people. Ooh. Neither shall they be written in the writings of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Now listen, this verse fascinated me, and you want to know why? Because I found God's perfect preservation of Scripture right here. Do you see that? Look what he said. He said, they shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writings of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. He said, don't worry. None of the lying garbage that you see out there, none of that's going to enter into my book. Amen? Now, that's not to say that God did not record lies from people, because he certainly did. What he's saying is these spurious books that were written out there, don't worry. They're not part of the Word of God. He said, they'll not enter into the writings. They'll not be in the book. Amen. Good promise from God right there. They'll not enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Neither shall they enter in. Neither shall they be written in there. Neither shall be in the assembly of my people. What are they? They're a bunch of lost professors is what they are. They're out there prophesying a bunch of lies. Amen. and they're not really his. How many churches do we have out there today like that? How many churches like this Harold Camping and other men like that? How many of the Benny Hinns and all these crooks out there? How many are out there that God says, don't worry, hey, you won't see him in heaven. You won't see him there. Oh, but they prayed the magic words. They repeated the magic words. And they rubbed the genie bottle, so they're automatically going to heaven. Yeah. Folks, whatsoever's in the heart cometh out. I mean, listen, if you're saved and born again, the Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. That doesn't mean we're always right 100% of the time, but what it does mean is you understand what this book says. And you're not out to fleece people, you're not out to destroy them, you're not out to hurt them, you're not out to... What does the Bible say about a preacher, a pastor? Not greedy of filthy lucre. Would you say that Harold Camping and his crew are greedy of filthy lucre? Would you say Benny Hinn is greedy of filthy lucre with his limousines, with all of his money and his houses? Folks, I guarantee you, you'll never see me pull any punches on those wicked people, none whatsoever, because they are stealing God's heritage. Stealing it. That's not very positive. Yeah, it's not very positive to steal God's heritage. You're right. It's not very positive to steal. You're right. Absolutely. Amen. But you have people that'll say, oh, well, just, you know, you should do it. Why? Why shouldn't I? Am I supposed to be silent like these prophets were? When something bad comes up, don't say a word about it, just let it go. And then people believe the lies, and then they get carried away with every foolish wind of doctrine, and they're destroyed. Those are people, those are wolves that prey on sheep. All those Joel Osteens and his big coliseums, and all, they're preying on sheep. They're preying on people. Him and his wife fly around everywhere, rich as you could be, as could be. Amen. Rich as you could be. Now, you think God meant his preachers to do that? No, folks. He meant them to start local New Testament churches and do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of their ministry. That's what he called them to do, folks. He didn't call them to go out and make a bunch of money. Those are a bunch of lying diviners is what they are. And God will prove that in the end. You'll not see them there. You'll see them at the white throne judgment. And they'll say, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? Depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I think it's the scariest words a man could ever hear from his God. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Very sober. Because they have seduced my people. Oh, look at that. Just the deception gets deeper, doesn't it? Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. In improper portions, not correct, not the right way. They coated it improperly. Saying to them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it, that it won't stand up to anything. When the winds of storms come, it's over, it'll be done with. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Where was that false prophecy? Where was that cute little story? How did that help you in the time of battle? Folks, listen, again, when people say, well, they sent out those things, you know, what are you looking for in a church? Those are the things that I would rip up and say, there ain't no way I'd ever send out a flyer that says, well, what are you looking for in a church? Why? Because it's like daubing with that untempered mortar. It's not effective, and it won't do anything to help them in their lives. Amen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. God will pronounce judgment in the end on all that. Amen. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Pretty powerful, isn't it? He said, you're going to know that all that lying stuff they told, and all that goofball stuff they did, and all their games they played, and everything that they did in the end, when I destroy it all, and it's all brought down to nothing, and I discover it all, and lay it naked for what it really is in front of all to see, they'll know that I am the Lord. Amen. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. You notice that? They that built up that false wall, the wall's gone, and so are they that built it up. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. You know, you got everybody wanting to tell stories, and we're going to stop there. There's so you could go so much farther with it, and it's a good chapter to study out. There's some good comparisons that can be made, you know, because of it and with it. But he goes on to you read the rest of the chapter in your own time, amen, and take a look at some of those things. But I will say this to you, that God knows who are His. And God hates lying divinations. God hates that power of positive thinking type stuff that's going on in churches today, where you just prophesy to them the pleasant, the sweet things. It's false, folks. We that are the children of God, we have a rest coming to us one day. Amen. But nothing in the Bible says that you and I will not go through some turmoil first. Life storms happen. Amen. And the destruction of America and everything else could happen. Amen. Don't trust in your money, your bank accounts, your riches, or anything else. You better trust in God. Amen. Let's pray.